Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. Now, it's time for Need to Know Basis.
All right, before we get to what you need to know and then Travis Yost in about 3 minutes' time, quick question for Matt Conesvita. Is this song part of the music theme today?
It is not.
All right, just wanted to double check. So we're still at three songs.
Yes.
Good. Do you always know. Do that?
No. Sometimes I forget because I'm doing other things, and it just rolls into the song.
Didn't mean to throw you the bus there. No, I was just curious. It's like, is that always the case?
Just had to double check so we're not confusing the good listener or us. Still on three songs for our music theme Thursday. Let's get what you need to know today. Canada's taking on Slovakia tonight, trying to go 2-0 at the World Junior Hockey Tournament in Edmonton. It'll be a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock start on TSN 1200. Sean Simpson, Jim Taddy get you started with a pregame show. Right now, the Czechs leading the Finns 2-1 after one. Both teams are 1-0. CFL football.
You know who has the goal?
Hamara?
No, the Finn goal.
Well, does he want to be Jarventi or Jarventi or Jarventia or what are we calling him this year?
I don't know, but I'm going with, we'll probably get a text or an email from Dean Brown momentarily, but I'm going with Roby Jarventi.
Well, it doesn't matter who, I've heard him say it both ways.
Same.
Right, directly. I don't care who I hear it from.
Oh, no, I didn't mean we'll get a nasty text. I mean, he'll send us.
He told me personally, if you want the Finnish way, it's Jarventia. If you want the North American way, it's Jarventi.
I've also heard Jarventi.
And then last year, he came back and he wanted the anglicized version of Jarventi. So that's why I say, how does he want it said this year? He scored a goal, though. That's
from the Josh Norris spot or his own spot, but one-time hammer from the edge of the right circle.
So 2-1, checks over Finland after one. Meantime, Robin Lehner out for the season for the Vegas Golden Knights with a hip injury. Brutal blow for him and certainly for Vegas as well. CFL tonight, Bombers try to go 10-0. They host 2-6 Montreal. Meantime, speaking of football, the Browns reportedly considering Jimmy G if the Deshaun Watson ban gets increased. So maybe Jimmy Garoppolo to Cleveland this year. Major League Baseball. There are some games this afternoon, but I'm more interested in what's going on tonight from Iowa.
How interested?
I'm pretty interested. I mean, I don't really care who wins the game, Cubs and Reds, but I'm going to find a way to see how it looks like. Field of Dreams game, Cubs-Reds this evening. You've got some afternoon baseball. Guardians lead the Tigers 3-1, bottom six. A Marlins 3-0 leaders over Philadelphia, end of six. Royals over the White Sox 1-0, top four. Astros over the Rangers 3-0, top three. That's what you need to know today as we head to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Pleased to be joined from TSN.ca. It is Travis Yost talking a little hockey. Travis, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I note that we're in the final couple weeks of Thursday Day Baseball is the best thing on the sports calendar. I'm anxious to get to September and October.
Not that far. Your Bills, you know, like you got to have some optimism about your Bills this year.
I'm over my skis with optimism. That's the only thing that's holding me back is the strength of that schedule. The rest of it, I'm way over my skis with it.
Well, the strength of the division isn't going to be very good. So you got that going for you.
So I agree with you. I do think Miami's going to have a pretty good year. I think Miami has a real shot to be a playoff team. But yeah, I think New England's going to be terrible, and I think the Jets are going to be terrible. So I take that over the AFC West any day.
Yeah, AFC West. I mean, that conference is wild, especially AFC West and the AFC North, right? I mean, there's really no easy team to beat. I mean, some people are picking the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl, and some people are picking the Raiders to finish fourth. That's the kind of division the AFC West is. And then the North if Cleveland's the worst team, and if they trade for Jimmy G, man, I think there's no easy touch in easy in either division, really.
No, I think the crazy part, and you know, the NHL had this too. Remember, if you remember 6-7 years ago when the California teams, Detroit, Chicago, were exceptionally good out west.
Yeah.
The Western Conference was so loaded with, you know, loaded with the top end teams. The crazy thing in the NFL right now is I think, and don't quote me on the exact numbers, but I think it's pretty close. By the time you get to like the 9th or 10th best AFC team, you're rolling up on probably the 4th best NFC team. And if you kind of go through, okay, give me a, you know, and everyone's got a different power ranking, right? But if you go through the iterative process, by the time you get to about the 4th or 5th NFC team, you've already hit about 10 AFC teams, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, there is definitely an imbalance, and that's good news for the likes of Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and some of those quarterbacks.
Unreal.
All right, let's get to some hockey. Great article this week on just the tiers of defensemen. You had 5 different tiers, and Ottawa was in the 4th tier. Tell us just how you came about going through the process of ranking all the different blue lines around the NHL.
Yeah, it's a time-consuming process in a good way because you're comparing every grouping on a relative basis to every other grouping on a relative basis around the league. And honestly, like look at this Ottawa lineup. There is 6 ways to Sunday of being excited with this group. I mean, they are, in my opinion, they generally have a playoff caliber lineup for the first time in a long time. And I think there is every reason to be super optimistic about the majority of their prospects getting there. We already see how their top 9 has developed. I wrote right off the rip at the summer when they traded for DeBrincat. I thought they had one of the better top 6s in the entire league. But when free agency opened up, people were looking and expecting for a defensive move. And, you know, Pierre Dorion did such a good job of grabbing a number of impact players that it just felt like, oh, yep, the other shoe's going to drop on the blue line solution. And it hasn't yet. And that doesn't mean it won't. But I think the concern here is, and, you know, majority of the teams in a hard cap league, you have some area of weakness that could preclude your team from making the postseason or a deep playoff run, whatever the expectations are. In Ottawa's case, like, the reality is right now with the way their roster is set up and, you know, Branstrom still in RFA, they've got Travis Hamonic, Nick Holden, and possibly most concerningly Nikita Zaitsev all penciled in for regular minutes. And at least one of those guys is likely going to see top 4 minutes, which is a little bit scary. Now, you know, I think Thomas Chabot has more than shown he can hold down his pairing, and there's big expectations on multiple rookies, multiple young players coming through the lineup. But at least for the immediate season, they kind of have this contract quagmire of guys that they really shouldn't want playing, and if playing, really depth minutes, occupying multiple spots on that blue line. And whether it's Jacob Chychrun, who they've danced around for 2-3 months now, or someone else, it really does feel like they need one more top 4 defender to start feeling like, yep, this team actually could sit inside of the top 8 by 82 games. I think they're close, but it's hard to get overly excited about this group when you look at the defensive composition of this team, and it just pales in comparison to the forwards right now.
Where do you sit on like left shot or any shot defenseman playing their offside? And I guess the second part of that question would be, do you think that they should continue to try to land Jake Chychrun, or is a move like Ethan Bear or someone of that ilk maybe more realistic and better off long-term? Like, how do you view that situation?
Well, I don't think Chychrun is an all-star caliber player, but I thought there was a good argument for 3 players kind of entering the fray, and it was John Marino, it was Mackenzie Weegar, and it was Jacob Chychrun. And the argument for Chychrun is, I think he's just a second pairing guy, and like I think at this point of his career, maybe his ceiling is a little bit more muted than when he first entered the league, but he's still a good NHL defender, and more importantly, I can't emphasize this enough, for a team that has spent a lot of money for the first time in eternity at the organizational level, like, Chychrun makes a lot of sense because he is on such a team-friendly contract. He's got a few more years on his deal. I want to say it's like $4.5 million average annual. Like, his contract and his age, by the way, kind of really dovetail with what Ottawa would want to see this roster do over the next 3-4 years, whereas compared to a player like Weegar, who just got his long-term deal in Florida, number one, he was going to be more expensive as a puck mover. He's probably a better player. But two, he was also due another contract, whereas Chychrun is really under this, you know, pre-COVID-ish, you know, still relatively team-friendly cap hit that Ottawa could slide into that lineup. And if they are bearish on Branstrom long-term, and I'm not saying they necessarily are, but I don't think they are excited about him as him today as they were a year and a half ago, and you got guys like Lassie Thompson around the corner, Jake Sanderson around the corner. Like, one or more of these guys is invariably going to be pushed out. And at some point, whether it's this year or beyond, the Zaitsevs and the Hamonic deals are going to come off the books too. But immediately for this year, if you are talking about a playoff caliber team and what to go after, it's hard. The options are very limited. Marino's gone off the board too. I still think it comes back to Chychrun. And, you know, at this point, it really just becomes, is Ottawa willing to move, you know, material picks to get a player who is good, but I think just as important, has a very, very friendly contract relative to any financial risk you might incur to shore up that second pairing? I think it still makes the most sense.
So if they can't land Chychrun, if the price doesn't come down, is there a second tier of guys that you could see that could be available? You know, like an Ethan Bear, like that's a name that keeps coming up. Is that a name that you'd be comfortable with, or is he not a top four guy for you?
I think Ethan Bear would be worth a flyer at a minimum. I mean, if you look at Carolina, it's the same piece, but go look at Carolina's blue line. I mean, I have them as a quasi tier two, tier one team. They probably have a top eight. I mean, they do have a top five blue line in the league, and Ethan Bear is probably in that sixth-ish, potentially even seventh hole. So I don't know that he would cost the moon, and I think he's absolutely a guy I'd take a flyer on. But I think more to your point too, I'm not entirely, you know, unsure, and I don't think anyone is right now, that some of these younger players, these prospects that they want to put force into the lineup, maybe it is worth seeing what they look like in an extended role. And I think the point of what I'm getting at here is, the key thing here is Travis Hamonic, Nikita Zaitsev, Nick Holden. Even though Nick Holden I thought was decent, just the reality of where he is in his career and his age right now, you cannot have three guys or two to three of these guys playing significant minutes. And if the options end up becoming, look, we don't have him straight away, but we're going to push Sanderson in the top four. And you know what? We're going to give Branstrom a third pairing role. But it's going to be an entrenched third pairing role, and one of these guys is going to be a routine healthy scratch, or we're going to find another home for him in Arizona, probably. Then so be it. I think what they have to, the reality that they're fighting against is they have too many negatives occupying the roster right now on the blue line, that even if they can replace them through purely internal options, which I don't think is the best plan for making the playoffs for this year, I still think that's better than, you know, Nikita Zaitsev, for example, being third in usage rate on your blue line. I mean, that's going to sink a team.
Travis, I've really enjoyed the your pieces on tiers and depth around the league. So let's move to the center ice position, where at the start of last year, from a Sens perspective, I think most fans and media thought that they were really thin there. And what are they going to do up the middle? And all of a sudden, Josh Norris proves what he's become. Tim Stützle has looked terrific since moving to the center ice position. And you got Shane Pinto, who also has looked really comfortable at the NHL level despite being injured throughout most of his time so far. You have them slotted in the third tier. What do you like about their group? And are they close? Are they just progression away from maybe joining that second or first tier?
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible by year end. I think the two things that would have held them back this go around is we just haven't seen enough of Pinto at the NHL level. I mean, I think he played 4 or 5 games all last year. Unfortunate injury, it is what it is. Norris had a fantastic scoring year, but I think anyone who watched Ottawa last year knows that the continued development of him as a two-way center will be key. I think the gasoline behind this, you know, that can take this fire to another level is Stützle, because I thought he was at times last year the most impressive of the young players that Ottawa was bringing, and it wasn't necessarily so much how much he was scoring on a given night or any defensive play he would make. I think his situational awareness and understanding when to push the pace of play, opening up passing lanes for shooters, I thought it was so good at such a young age. And if he really takes this step and entrenches himself by year end as a bona fide, you know, quasi first line center, and you've already got Norris and a developing Pinto behind him, the reason why you like this Ottawa group is you can run three healthy lines down the middle of the ice, where you have confidence in all three of those guys. Now, you want to see Norris take a big progressive step. I think you want to see a little bit more scoring from Stützle this following year. I think you want to see Pinto finish a full season, right? Like those things are obvious, but we've seen plenty enough from each of these guys to be excited about them. And I think more importantly, this go around, they have the weapons on at the wing that will actually take a lot of these scoring chances and turn it into goals. I mean, the Alex DeBrincat deal was this front office's feather in the cap moment. I mean, they flat out stole him from Chicago, and whether he scores 30 goals or 35 or 41 like last year, he just adds another ridiculous scoring element from the wing. Claude Giroux brought into free agency. There's so much more offensive talent around these guys right now. That I think that's going to be a boon for these centers as well. So I, you know, this group, I think there's plenty of reason to be excited about these three centers in particular.
Travis Yost is our guest talking hockey from TSN.ca. And Travis, you mentioned, you know, for the first time in a long time, it looks like a playoff caliber lineup. Who are some of the teams that could be ripe for the pickings for you when you look at teams that were in the playoffs last year? All eight in the East had 100+.
Yeah, I think there's a couple. So this is the interesting thing. We've talked the NFL off the rip and how the AFC has this big imbalance. I think there's an imbalance starting to brew again in the NHL, this time swinging to the Eastern Conference, because, yeah, we expect Pittsburgh and Boston, who are really the last two holdouts of the teams from 10, 15 years ago, who ridiculously have remained competitive all these years. I mean, we see Boston bringing it back for one more year. We see Pittsburgh kind of punting on the cap issues for the time being. These are, whether they break down this year or next year, they're coming relatively soon. I don't think Boston is ready to take a slip quite yet, but Boston is dealing with multiple injuries. Charlie McAvoy's out recovering long-term. Brad Marchand's out recovering long-term. Bergeron, another year older, David Krejci, another year older. So like this group, is if not playoff to non-playoff, I don't think they are the same effective, caliber team as they were even just a couple seasons ago. And I think that is also true across the division, with Pittsburgh. I think the interesting thing though is Ottawa is not the only team that I think is taking a step forward. I think Detroit has done a lot of work to be more competitive. Do I think they're a playoff team? No. Do I think they're winning more games this year? Yes. And again, those aren't, we just saw a number of other moves made from really underperforming or outside of the playoff teams. Buffalo was a much improved team in the second half of last year when they brought Alex Tuch in. So I think winning may be incrementally harder, because outside of Montreal, I don't know how many teams are going to roll over and die in the Eastern Conference, where I think you've got a handful of them out west, and really I would say more so outside of the Central. So Ottawa is going to be in an absolute knife fight. But if I'm looking around, I think Tampa and Toronto are absolutely rock solid. I don't expect Florida to take that big of a dive. Across the Rangers and Carolina still look as good as ever. So, I mean, you've got five or six of these spots occupied. We have fight for the last two or three. But Ottawa's just, I think Ottawa is just as good as any of these other teams in that tier 6 to 10 range. But it really is going to come down, I think, in a way they protect their goaltenders with how they dress this blue line going into October.
How do you view the tier of teams behind Colorado in the West?
It's really interesting because as I was one of my key, I think I had like a mid-tier findings, like three or four things that I noticed. I think it was New Jersey looks way improved. Vancouver's forwards are ridiculous. They're 21st in scoring every year. So, what's going on there? So I had a few of these observations. But the triumvirate of St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville, man, they are extremely good and, most importantly, deep teams with very few holes down the lineup that I think we would be thinking about a little bit differently if it wasn't big brother, little brother with Colorado within that division. I mean, I actually consider these teams on par with Edmonton. Certainly I do Nashville, certainly I do Minnesota, certainly I do St. Louis, just because they may not have as top-to-top kind of top-end talent as Edmonton, but, man, they run deeper. And I think that central division, that core group of four teams, that is going to be really fun hockey because, I think Carolina is night and day better than the rest of the league right now? Yes, in large part because of the top of the lineup, but – like we even saw in the playoff, even though Colorado skated through the postseason, the one team that really did give them some degree of difficulty was St. Louis. And I know that's a little forgotten, but it was second round series, I think it ended in six. But St. Louis was, they were able to frustrate Colorado in a way like we saw Vegas the year prior do, that these deeper teams who can play a more possession-oriented game can slow Colorado down a bit. But honestly, in the West, you can draw a line between Colorado and everyone too.
What basketball team wins more games in the New York area this year? Your Knicks or the most dramatic team in NBA history, I'm going to call them, with Kyrie, KD, Ben Simmons, and the Brooklyn Nets? Or is it all dependent on the Knicks adding Donovan Mitchell?
Let me tell you something. So there's an old adage in the NFL, no matter what you've ever done, If you bet against Tom Brady the last 25 years or however long he's been in the league at this point, the amount of money you lost is so colossal. Even when it may have made sense, just betting against him is just always a bad idea and not profitable. And I'm going to use that logic and apply it here. I don't care how big of a mess the Nets are. If you bet against the Knicks, you are generally going to be right. So without knowing anything about what the Nets do and whether they send KD and Kyrie and everyone else to the moon or not, I am going to bet against the Knicks and say the Knicks will find a way to screw this up, and they'll finish 13th in the East.
Do you at least like Jalen Brunson?
I do like Jalen Brunson. He's such a – he's one of those did they maybe overpay for him? Are you sure or whatever? But I just love – in any sport, that super scrappy, I'm going to get it. I'm not going to roll over any shift, I'm getting 6 minutes on the floor. I'm going to play as hard as I can for that stretch of minutes. You always, I think most fans are wired that way, but you always find yourself more attuned to players like that. And Brunson is such a gamer. And if you're a Knicks fan, if you're nothing else, you're a fan of great point guards. That's, quite frankly, the only thing New York is known for other than pizza and bagels at this point is point guard. So I'm hoping he at least has a breakout year again with the Knicks.
Travis, great stuff as always. Keep up the great work. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and thanks for joining us here today.
Be easy, guys. Take care.
Travis Yost joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Knicks or Nets?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say Nets, too, just because didn't the Knicks have a pretty good start last year? And their fans were getting kind of excited, and then
they fell apart.
Yeah. I just always view them like that. So I'm going to have to take the Nets, despite not only it being a complete and total gong show, but not knowing who's going to be on that roster.
I think Travis has a point, and look, he's a Knicks fan, but if they get Donovan Mitchell, and it certainly seems like that's a possibility, man, with Mitchell, Brunson, RJ Barrett, they should be able to be better than whatever. I could see the Nets winning 25 games this year. It depends. I don't know. I'm not really seeing how any of those guys are going to stay and be happy or whatever. Maybe they're going to prove me wrong. Maybe they're going to win 65 games. They're going to prove everybody wrong. They're going to all be healthy. They're all going to be happy. They're all going to be committed. But I don't see it happening. Anyways, always good stuff chatting with Travis. And yeah, playoff caliber roster. I do like the thought of giving some of these guys a look to see what they can do. The Lassie Thompsons. Like, to me, it's not like, I get it. You want to take a big step this year. You need to take a big step this year. But I don't think it's the end of the world if all of a sudden you finish with 89 points and miss the playoffs. Like, you don't want to be finishing with 75. Had enough of that here in recent years. But if your young guys show that they're capable, see what they can do. You're one step closer. Like, the best chance you have of basically having good defensemen is developing your own.
Yeah, you just have to get somebody off
ready,
the roster.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
Well, Zaitsev.
Yeah. I think everyone knew which somebody I was referring to.
Well, we'll see what they can do over the course of the next few weeks. Training camp just over a month away as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
The Drive on TSN 1200. Takeout Thursday, music theme Thursday. Takeout Thursday means when you hear the sounder, which is not right now, you have to be the 15th caller at 750-1200 and know exactly what kind of wings Graham Creech wants tonight from Gabriel's.
Yeah.
And those are?
We're going hot and honey.
Hot and honey wings.
I could go for some hot and honey wings, too. Oh, delicious.
All right, what's the song list, Matt Conesvita?
We've got the Bengals with Eternal Flame right now, which I'm keeping playing because I assume it's upsetting Aaron John. We've also heard Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne, Journey with Lights, and started things off with Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water.
All right, four songs in.
I have a guess.
What you got, Creature?
Are there songs with lyrics that have elements in them?
It's a good guess. Incorrect. I know Darren DeSaunier earlier this afternoon texted me a guess, songs about water. Of course, Eternal Flame.
Smoke.
Does encompass the elements, but that is not Gur the Mad's theme today.
Stacey's Mom, I think there's some pool talk in there. That's all I got. I don't mind.
He wants to hang out by the pool after school. Ooh, 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 ooh. After school.
I like the music theme. I don't always care to be guessing all day, like myself. Something pops in my head, I'll guess.
I got no guess.
But I kind of not researching the songs and cracking the code. I feel like the listeners can do that.
Triple threat texting in to 12-1200, where standard messaging rates apply, is the music theme about the fireworks festival that's going on. Also incorrect.
Triple threat. So we got a triple threat, a triple D, and a triple B now. Or maybe one of them altered their name.
This one comes in. Can we stray from today's theme for one re-entry, please, and just play La Bamba, Baby? That's up to Matt Conesvita, but I would love that.
It is Triple B. Triple B's changed his name. Did you hear that fight between the listeners?
No.
Triple B has changed his name.
All right. No, and for those that are unaware, Ben Stelter passed away from brain cancer yesterday, had a rare condition, 6 years old, and someone that was very visible in the Oilers playoff run, attended a bunch of games, and that was his song, was La Bamba. So I'll leave that
sorry
up to...
Sorry to interrupt you there, AJ. I was excited about the Triple B thing,
yeah, no,
and I was researching
fine.
That, so I wasn't listening to what the text you were reading. That would be cool. Is there a spot empty to put that on at some point today? Did we play that yesterday?
We didn't.
Sure, I can play it today.
Yeah, I mean, just tragic when you see something like that.
That's tough. That was
6 years old.
Heartbreaking.
And you see what he meant to the Edmonton Oilers and just those players, right? And I think that's one of the things you learn as you get older is obviously they enriched his life, but he enriched their lives, right? I mean, when you meet someone like that, you know, everyone knew only had a certain amount of time left, that brings that type of energy and that's going to stay with you forever. So no doubt tragedy in terms of, you know, anyone that's 6 years old that has to succumb way too soon, and pretty tough 24 hours for anyone that got to know Ben Stelter over the course of, you know, the last few years. Yeah, we'll do a little La Bamba for you today.
Should we do, I know that we've had a lot of talk this week about the leftover music, maybe leftover or somewhere later in the show, somewhere else. Oh, no, we're not doing leftover because it's 5:30 end, right?
Short show.
Maybe 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock work for you?
Whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah,
works
we'll
for
do
me.
A little 5 o'clock La Bamba. Absolutely, we'll do a little 5 o'clock La Bamba.
For Ben,
absolutely. 100%. In for that for sure. A lot of people talking about the Shawville Fair today on the text from earlier. Of course, Kim Mitchell's going to be playing there in September. That's still something I haven't managed to get. I haven't been to any of the fairs. Navin Fair, Carp Fair, Richmond Fair.
Like ever?
Not here in Ottawa.
Oh. I thought you meant like within the last year, like you didn't go last year.
Never been to any of the fairs.
Growing up, we went to the Carp Fair every year. Like as a high school, like everybody kind of went. Richmond Fair is now my fair. Taking the kids there. We did last year. We'll be doing it again this year. But lots of great fairs and lots of great tunes, right? That's what you see. You see these bands like Trooper and Kim Mitchell. Shawville Fair. You've never been to a Shawville Fair? Shawville Fair, that was so... When I said we went to the Carp Fair all the time as like growing up through high school,
yeah.
Once we got our licenses and kind of became drinking age, we'd head up there, usually stay at someone's cottage or whatever after, and it became the Shawville Fair once we were about 18, maybe even 17.
Heard a lot of great things. Sadly, this won't be the year for me to finally get to see the Shawville Fair.
Oh, you got to hit up another one then. Know what you should do? You should. I don't know if there's a way to do this. Matt might know, but finding out who's performing at the mall. I guess you could just easily Google each fair's guest or entertainment lineup. But I'm sure there's a decent band in there that you'd be like, you know what? There's my excuse to head out to Fair Blank.
Well, I know Chevelle is playing the New York State Fair in Syracuse, but not when I'm there. I'll be there September the 3rd, day after Kim Mitchell plays the Shawville Fair, September the 2nd. All right.
I'm surprised you haven't been to Shawville.
I've been to Shawville.
No,
I just haven't been to the fair. Just haven't been to the fair. I'll pencil it in for next year, if I can, right? Schedule is all over the map when it comes to CFL season, and that's definitely something on my list. All right, when we come back, we're going to give our CFL picks for the week. Montreal and Winnipeg playing tonight as we continue with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
The Drive on TSN 1200. It's Music Theme Thursday. Matt, what's the latest song? This is from Phil Collins, Easy Lover.
And Philip Bailey. But yes, Easy Lover. Philip Bailey and Phil Collins. Go along with Eternal Flame by the Bengals, Fountains of Wayne with Stacey's Mom, Journey with Lights, and Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple.
No guess for me. No guess from you still? You've had a couple.
I've had a couple. I feel like I'm out. See if anything pops in there.
Uber C writing, songs used in How I Met Your Mother. Incorrect. This one's a little out of the box, I guess. It's going to be tough to give a hint for this one.
All right.
I'll say it's not lyrics related today. As it's 3:52 and no correct guesses for a Grrr the Mad theme on this Music Theme Thursday.
Rob writes, sorry, AJ, 89 points and not making the playoffs doesn't cut it. Enough is enough. Winners win. Yeah, I just want to see this team win a Stanley Cup. And if I'd rather see them go 89 points and miss the playoffs and in 2 to 3 years compete for a Stanley Cup, 4 years win a Stanley Cup, then see them get 95 points, make the playoffs, and not take the necessary steps beyond that. That's exactly what I was saying, Rob, was when you're talking about players like Lassie Thompson and Jacob Bernard Docker, that if it happens to be this year, like I'm looking at the long term, I'm looking at the big picture, and I get people here are sick of the long term, sick of that. They want to see some strides. I don't think people are going to be upset if this team, let's say they can't overpay to get a defenseman. Anyone can overpay for anything, right? Let's say the price is too high for Jacob Chychrun. They don't want to pay it. And they've decided, okay, you know what? We're going to go with what we have. We're going to go into this season with what you have. And you might take a few more lumps playing Lassie Thompson and Jacob Bernard Docker. But you finish with 89 points instead of overpaying, pay me now or pay me later, right? Overpaying and having 3 or 4 more wins. If all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you have a better team for it, you're better off in the end than giving up an extra couple of pieces that you don't want to give up. That's all I'm saying. Winners win. We get winners win. You want to see some strides here. That's the key. Like, I get it. Mediocrity and below 500, not being in the race in the spring and all that type of stuff is unacceptable. I'm with you on that. Totally with you on that. Need to be a contender. 8 teams make the playoffs. That means 8 don't. And not every year. In fact, 19 out of 20 years, you're going to have a couple of teams within 5 points that missed the playoffs. If one of those teams is the Ottawa Senators, I don't think it's a bad year. If the trajectory in terms of your young players, and especially when it comes to your young defensemen like Jake Sanderson and potentially with Thompson and Bernard Docker, and if you're talking about Pinto and Greg and some other guys, if that trajectory with those guys, not to mention the other top 6 guys that they've got, right, you're Bathursons and your Norrises and your Tkachuks and your Stutzlas. Like, if everyone takes strides and you happen to miss the playoffs by a handful of points, then I think the next year is when you say, okay, we have to make the playoffs now. Have to. But I think strides is where this team needs to go. I want to see in this playoff. I want to see this team in the playoffs too. Don't get me wrong. I miss playoff hockey. I love getting to the spring and the weather starts to turn and all of a sudden the buzz that's in the air in this city. And you think of the buzz in the air in this city for different playoff runs. I can tell you this. If they make the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, next year actually it'd be the first time in 6 years, creature, the buzz in this town would be off the hook. So yeah, I want to see that. But not at any price. That's all I'm saying. To go out and get a Jake Chychrun costs a price. There's a reason he hasn't been traded yet. Never mind just not to Ottawa, but anywhere in the league. They're asking for the moon. They're asking for the farm. So unless the price comes down, they're probably going to be stuck with him. Or you overpay, and maybe you make the playoffs, but maybe it hurts you 2-3 years down the road. And that's when you really want to be good.
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of if they miss the playoff with 89 points, I think it would still be a pretty successful season and jump considering where this team's been for 5 years. But I can also appreciate where the fans coming from. Sick of being outside of the playoffs. Sick of watching the Stanley Cup playoffs without his favorite team taking part in them. So I have no problem with that text. But I do agree with you that it would be a successful stride for this team to take that big a jump.
We'll see how it goes. Love to see them get another defenseman. Love to see them part with Zaitsev. I guess here's the question for you, Graham Creech. Like, it sounds like they want picks. So let's say they said, we'll take Zaitsev off your hands. We'll give you Chychrun. We want 4 first-rounders.
Yeah, that's too much.
Right? Like, you've already traded your first-rounder this year. Like, I'd probably be willing to give up one more. Ideally in 2024. Maybe lottery protected in 2023, just to ensure, like, you want to be at least, like, if you do have another bad season, right? You want that insurance package that says, okay, let's say we're 9th worst in the league and we win the lottery. Well, we don't want to hand you Connor Bedard, right? Like, you've at least got to protect yourself. I'd be okay giving up a top two, like, even if it's just top two protected first round pick this year, or a 2024 first round pick. But I'm not sure I want to be giving up both, and certainly not 3 or more. I mean, you've already given up one. Where are you on how many picks you might be willing to part
with? 2 would be the limit, and I don't even know if I want to give up 2 right now.
You have to keep backfilling, right? That's the key. You can't just say, well, okay, we look great. We got great prospects. No, they got to keep coming. You want to have one every year.
Yeah, when they're eventually taking bigger strides and the expectation is competing for a cup, you need guys on entry-level deals to come in and contribute to your lineup, especially with the amount of guys that they're going to have to sign and have signed already. You can't. And four is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So you better be getting Cale Makar back or something if you're talking.
Well, that's, and again, I don't know exactly what they're asking for, but why hasn't he been moved yet? Right? He's a good defenseman on a team-friendly deal. Why hasn't he been moved yet? Well, the asking price is too high for 31 other teams in the league. Simple as that. Take our top hour break. When we come back,
we do still have to talk, well, the CFL picks.
Yeah, we got our CFL picks.
We still have to
poll question,
discuss,
yeah,
the poll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into both of those over the course of the next hour and a half and much more from you, a good listener, 12-1200, for standard messaging rates apply. On this Canada game day, taking on Slovakia tonight, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock start on TSN 1200.